All right, we're ready for the customer service and operations. Thank you. Wynn is here, and I want to call the meeting to order. Before us is today's agenda. Are there any questions about the agenda? Hearing no questions or objections, we'll accept the agenda as published. Next is the approval of the minutes of May 8th. Is there a motion for approval? Moved by Mr. Dykes, second by Mr. Downs. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? This morning we have two items on the agenda. One is an approval action item, and second is information item. The first item on the agenda is the item that will Mr. Nguyen from the Human Rights, Equal Employment, I want to call you Human Rights, Equal Employment Office is going to take us through, and the board has gone through a series of approvals of Title VI, and this brings us to those that must be completed before we meet the FTA's approval process. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Nguyen for the Title VI presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Hudgens, and good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
In October of 2012, the FTA released a new Title VI circular. And since that date, Metro staff has worked diligently to develop a Title VI program update to meet those requirements. Next slide, please. Every 3 years, Metro must prepare and submit a Title VI program update to the FTA. The update, which is due to the FTA by October 1, 2014, demonstrates how Metro is complying with the Title VI requirements, and this particular update will cover the period 2011 through 2013. In the new circular were some new, or shall I say, enhanced requirements. They are the Title VI policy definitions, the public participation plan, the additional demographic analysis, the additional equity analysis, and board approval. Next slide, please. As we approach the final stages of our Title VI program update, the purpose today is really threefold. First, I want to remind the board of the items you have already reviewed and or approved, and they are the policy definitions for equity and fair evaluation, the service standards and service policies, the service and fair equity analysis 2011 through 2013. And I take this time to really thank the board for their commitment to Title VI and in assisting the staff in achieving these particular goals. Secondly, I'm going to seek your approval for the following items. And let me just pause there and say, I use the word approval, but as I go through the presentation, you will see some of these items really are just matter-of-fact items. But the language says approval, so we'll operate on those bases. And they are the monitoring of service delivery, the notices to the public, the complaint procedures, the Title VI complaints and investigations, next slide, please, the language assistance plan, the racial composition of advisory councils, the equity analysis for new construction, the demographic analysis of the service area, the demographic analysis of customers, and what they refer to as procedural requirements. And lastly, I'll inform you that in September, we'll be back to you for the last item, which will be the public participation plan, and we'll seek your approval for that then. Next slide, please. You've seen this slide in earlier presentations. However, now it is updated with 2010 census data. The Title VI program really is to ensure that we have equity in our system. This slide and the next slide shows our demographic analysis for the area and for our ridership. Next slide, please. Under the customer analysis, the main source of this data are our passenger surveys, which must be conducted at least every 5 years. Reading from left to right, the columns are total annual trips, annual minority trips, percent minority ridership, annual low-income trips, and percent low-income ridership. Now, the source of this data are our 2012 rail passenger surveys, our 2008 bus passenger survey, which will be updated in 2014, and for metro access, we use census data. Next slide, please. Now, let's look at what we're going to talk about for the approval that I'm requesting today. Next slide, please. Under monitoring our service standards, the circular requires that transit agencies monitor the performance of their fixed route operations every 3 years to ensure that the system design or operation does not discriminate against minority or low-income populations. FTA requires the following standards, and they are on-time performance, vehicle headway, vehicle load, service availability. They also ask us to look at our policies, and those are distribution of amenities and vehicle assignment. Next page, please. Under the standards, staff use the board-approved disparate impact and disproportionate burden, which I refer to as DIDB. These were the thresholds for service to evaluate whether minority or low-income riders were experiencing significantly worse service than average for the system. Overall, the staff found that service and availability, while using the board-approved DIDB thresholds, either met the standards, had no significant disparity, or was comparable to the demographic makeup of the area. Last month, the board was mailed a detailed memo. It was dated May 16, which provided the specifics to support the results that you see noted here on this slide. Next slide, please. Under policies, the FTA requires that we look at passenger amenities and vehicle assignments. Now, you may ask, what are amenities? Well, amenities are things like shelters, system maps, schedules, and waste receptacles. We conducted a field survey of all 86 stations and only found that 5 stations were missing a single map. Under vehicle assignment, the policy speaks to the fleet age and whether or not minority or low-income passengers experience vehicles that are older than the average. The analysis shows equitable distribution throughout our system. Next slide, please. Metro is required to provide notice to the public regarding the agency's Title VI obligations and to apprise the public of their protections against discrimination that are afforded to them by Title VI. The examples you see here, the green bus placard, are in fact displayed in our buses. The white take ones are also in our metro stations and are given out to the metro access customers. Additionally, we post this information in various languages on our website, and we also distribute it at public meetings and to our community-based organizations. Next slide, please. Under complaint procedures, Metro is required to develop procedures for investigating and tracking Title VI complaints that are filed against the agency. These complaints are forwarded to both the operational area for action and to the Office of Equal Employment Opportunity. Now, you should note that in order for a patron to file a discrimination charge under Title VI, it must be on the basis of race, color, or national origin. Next slide, please. Once the Office of Equal Opportunity receives a complaint, we in turn get in touch with the customer and provide them information that describes their Title VI rights and provide them a complaint form. Now, some customers we talk to will discuss their concerns with us. Some customers are not responsive to our phone calls or letters. We often find that customers are not interested in filing a formal complaint. But for those who do, we conduct a thorough investigation, which results in findings and recommendations. And if applicable, we get those to the operational area. During this reporting period, which is 2011 through 2013, we reviewed 213 complaints. There were only 8 formal complaints filed, though. And the basis for those complaints were race and national origin. Of the 7 that we investigated, only 7 had no probable cause. 1 was finding of inconclusive. But you should note, even though a customer may not file a Title VI formal complaint with us, it still is forwarded to the operational unit which has their process for handling complaints. Next slide, please. One of the Title VI requirements is to provide the FTA with a demographic profile of race of our advisory groups. And you will see here, we note that there are 42% minority in the RAC and 47% minority in the AAC. Now, when vacancies are advertised for the council, we do specific outreach to the community-based organizations to encourage application for members in the protected populations. Next slide, please. Under language assistance, you are very well aware of how diverse the metro region is. For the 2010 census, over 30% of the region population speaks a language other than English at home, 40% of which do not speak English well. In all jurisdictions, their service areas have LEP populations exceeding 5%, with the exception of the district. The highest concentration of LEP population is in Fairfax County and Montgomery County, and is close to 15% there. The top five languages spoken in the region other than English are Spanish, Chinese, Korean, Vietnamese, and the African languages. And these are the primary languages by which we focus our language assistance plan and conduct our translations. Next slide, please. You heard me mention the word translations because we do translate vital documents. Now you may say, what are vital documents? Well, vital documents are anything that is critical to securing service and benefits and utilizing our services. We also have a multilingual website that customers can go to. We also have a language interpretation line. Starting back in 2008, my office started what we refer to as occupational Spanish training for frontline bus and rail staff. To date, over 300 bus operators and station managers have taken this course. It is a voluntary program. We also have Title VI language assistance training for frontline staff and bus, rail, and transit officers. I kind of refer to this as cultural sensitivity. It fosters a good working relationship between frontline employees and the public, and to date over 400 have participated in that. And this will become one of our customer focus items too. Next slide, please. During the 2011 through 2013 timeframe, we only had one instance where we had new construction, and that was the Southern Bus Garage. That caused an equity analysis to be conducted. We had two alternatives, Reno Road and Southern Avenue. The Reno Road selection was the alternative with the less direct adverse impact for minority and low-income populations. Thus, that was the selection that we chose. Next slide. Also in the circular is a statement talking regarding procedural requirements. Well, Metro does not have any organizations that we pass through funds directly from FTA, so that particular item is not applicable to us. We do, however, have a FTA certification. The general manager signed that April 9, so that is current. So what am I asking your approval for? I've shown you the monitoring of service delivery. I've shown you the notices to the public. I've talked you through our complaint procedures and our Title VI complaint investigation process. I've shown you our language assistance plan. I've shown you the racial composition of the advisory councils. We've talked through the equity analysis that we did for our new construction. And I've shown you the demographic analysis of the service area and the demographic analysis of our customers. And I mentioned the one procedural requirement. Those are the items that I'll be seeking your approval for today. What are our next steps? Next slide. As I mentioned, in April 2014, we will come back to the board for approval of our public participation plan. And that is an item that I think you will be very proud of. So, as I stated, we are due to the FTA by October 1. So, starting after this meeting, staff will begin to pull together all the documents, all the writings, all the narratives, all the background, all the maps, and what will eventually be created is something similar to this. This is the one we did for 2011. It's over 500 pages, double-sided, of data that we will send in. This year is going to be larger than this because we're going to have a public participation plan, too. It is our goal to send you all of this via electronic media so that you can have it. Later on in the year, I'll give it to the general manager, and he'll advise me as to which members of the executive leadership team also need a copy of this. That concludes the presentation, and again, I ask your approval of what I've shown you today. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Mr. Nguyen, for the presentation. It's pretty thorough. Let me start and recognize Mr. Dyke first for question.
Yeah, it's just a question. Well, you mentioned that you had 8 complaints that you actually looked at. Could you give me some idea of the kinds of issues that were raised in those complaints?
The majority of the complaints stem from national origin. It may be a Latino. It could be African American who feels that whatever took place, you may have passed me on the bus and not taken on bus because of my national origin. Those kinds of issues.
So in other words, you're saying that they passed them up because of that, or were there any other?
That's the allegation.
That's the allegation.
That's the allegation.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? No other questions. I think what we have reiterated is that this process has either been in place or has some form and before, and you've gone over and met the updated Title VI requirements in
Correct.
Each of the areas to be documented and shared with us,
yes.
And we're giving approval that you move forward and do so. Ms. Hines?
Thanks, Ms. Hutchins. I wanted to commend you, Mr. Nguyen. We're in the midst of looking at a bus route that runs from Crystal City to Tysons right now. And the outreach that you all have done, which has been quite different from before, we're getting just really positive feedback on. So I'm presuming those are the kinds of things that will be in that public participation plan. And I just wanted you to know, from a really diverse community with lots of languages and lots of people, we're hearing good things about how you're doing that work.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Not to steal our thunder from September when we present it, but it is really going to be a excellent document. I mean, it will be the framework that Metro can utilize to do outreach for any type of activity.
Okay. Very good. We look forward to that. Do I have a motion for the approval of the items?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Giancola and second by Mr. Dyke. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed? Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you.
The next is an action item. It's going to be presented by Mr. Tom Randall on the payment system, the new payment system plan program, and where we are in our milestones and the work that will be done throughout the region. Thank you very much, Mr. Randall. Welcome this morning.
Better? Okay. Do that a lot. My name is Tom Randall. I'm Director of Fair Payments and responsible for the implementation of the new electronics payments program. Pleased to be here to provide you an update. I'll review the program objectives, implementation approach, scope, and timeline, as well as notable activities in the progress and those upcoming. It's been 130 days since we began work with Accenture as our selected system integrator, and the work relationship has gone well. Replacing the payment systems and devices with modern technology will benefit our customers in many ways. We, of course, will be able to maintain the seamless transfer between services and providers, which customers enjoy today. I've met with almost all the regional providers at their locations individually to discuss the NEP and learn about their operations. We hosted an overview of the program and an introduction to Accenture in this building on May 16th. All the regional partners were included. Accenture has begun to meet individually with the regional partners, operators, to define their specific needs and requirements as they plan their transition. MATA representatives are participating in these discussions as necessary to support their efforts and ensure a common understanding of the program. We will be designing and implementing a new computer software and hardware system, as well as devices at the rail stations, on buses, and parking facilities, along with new fare collection system for Metro Access. We'll have a new website and a much expanded network of retailers where customers can purchase and add value to their cards. With the greatly expanded retail network for card purchase and reloading, the use of cash on the bus will evolve. Customers will continue to be able to pay the fare with cash or coin. During the transition, the reload of Smart Trip cards on bus will continue, but will expand the availability of the retail outlets, which will be much more convenient and faster than it is today. Eventually, we will discontinue the reload of cards aboard the buses, which will reduce boarding time and improve service for all customers. Other local retailers are planned to be recruited for transit fare sales as well. Now, the current retail locations number about 300. This will be greatly expanded to ensure customers have easy access to reload or purchase their cards. Retailers such as 7-Eleven, Walgreens, CVS, Family Dollar, Walmart, and other similar chains will be recruited. And a transaction will be as similar to and as simple as purchasing a gift card in those stores today. Other local retailers can be recruited as well as part of a third-party network. We are 130 days since the start of the project, as I mentioned, and our current focus is implementing the systems for our pilot test, which will begin with participation from a selected group of about 2,000 customers in January of 2015. To achieve success, the pilot systems are required to operate to specifications for 90 days without exception. Initial payment to our system integrators made only upon successful acceptance of the pilot. The pilot will gather customer feedback and is focused on determining the technical functions work as expected to provide confidence in the hardware, software, and systems necessary for each customer transaction. It is a limited test, both in the features and extent of devices to mitigate the customer inconvenience while providing sufficient test transactions and data for analysis. The group of test customers will be invited to participate and selected as a representation of our overall customer population who have travel patterns which will facilitate the test equipment use. The pilot stations, bus routes, and parking facilities have been identified and will be confirmed to ensure test objectives can be addressed. The two parking stations aren't identified there, but they are Shady Grove and Suitland. The bus routes are getting close to being finalized. There's been some change in the garage locations now, but we have a list and are very close to finalizing those as well. Much work has been done in the planning, analysis, and configuration of the new system for the pilot phase. This work will carry into the full deployment. WMATA staff from most areas of the authority have been working with team members from Accenture in this effort. Much has been achieved, and I'll share some of those activities with you. New communication lines are required at the mezzanines. This work has begun, and we expect to complete the pilot station upgrades in the next several weeks, and are beginning the first phases of the same work for all the remaining stations. In most cases, we expect to pull new cables through the existing ductwork under the floors, but in some cases, new ductwork will be installed under the floor. We are upgrading and expanding the test facilities to support the new devices. We'll be installing an ADA gate at this site specifically for those customers to review and test during the pilot as well. The V-Block is a new computer system specifically designed and implemented for the NEP by Accenture. Once one system is installed for the pilot and another will be installed at a separate location to support full deployment with redundancy and failover backups. This system will be in constant communication with those new devices you see there to process transactions in real time. Pilot is planned to be completed by June of next year. The full program schedule extends out for multiple years, but we will vigorously pursue an accelerated schedule to achieve project benefits earlier, which would result in some cost savings as well. All systems and processes will be thoroughly tested prior to any implementation. The actual date to cease use of the existing system is still under review. This determination has a number of dependencies, including the timing of the regional operator transition and the effectiveness of the expanded retail network. So our next steps, we are focused on pilot activities and integrating plans with regional partners. We will be expanding, extending work performed in the pilot for the full system rollout. And again, we'll thoroughly test all systems and processes prior to implementation. That ends my slides. I'd be happy to answer any questions as I'm able.
Thank you, Mr. Randall. Let me open the floor for questions, and Mr. Giancalway has a question. I'll start.
Yes, thank you for your presentation. This is a project that I've been pushing for some time. Back on, I'm not sure which slide it is, but it's 42 of 52, where you talk about the NEPP direction bus fare payment. Tell me what this means. Transfer cash load capability from on-bus to retail network. What does that mean?
Currently, we the last month I checked, I think we had about $3 million of cash being added value to Smart Trip cards on the buses. In the future, customers will be able to stop in a store like they where they go every day and add value to their cash, add value to their card with cash or other means at any of those retail locations. So that process and that functionality will no longer take time on the bus or encumber other customers as well, but it'll be available when those customers are going around in their daily business. Like at 7-Eleven, they could stop in like they top up a phone card, they can top up their Smart Trip card.
Okay, second question. There are going to be 10 stations in the experiment or the pilot. It looks like it sounds like one fare gate for each of those 10 stations. Is that correct?
Mr. Giancola, yes, that's correct. Okay. One mezzanine, one fare gate.
And
one
part of the program will include maintenance of those pilot stations. In other words, they may break down. So, I mean, there will be capability there to repair or maintain those stations?
Mr. Giancola, absolutely. Accenture is responsible for the maintenance, repair, and uptime of all those pilot stations during the test and beyond during rollout.
And what was the logic of selecting the 10 stations? I know you have alternate stations, but what was the logic of selecting those 10 stations?
A number of factors went into the selection of those stations. They included space available at different stations, a geographic dispersion amongst the states. Travel patterns were looked at so a sufficient volume of test customers could be utilized to go through those stations. There were a number of other factors as well.
Okay. There's a slide, Improved Fairgate Systems Test Lab. It's slide 48 of 52. I have no idea what this is telling me.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not saying you need to tell me what it means, but I'm not sure that was useful in your presentation.
Thank you. I'll clarify the slides for next time. Thank you. We have a test facility at Telegraph Road where our automated fare collection personnel test and retest and check repairs and support our regional operators in the workability of their system or if problems come up. That facility will be expanded from its current footprint to a larger footprint to accept the new devices as well as the old, because we'll be maintaining both at one time. And during the pilot phase, we have a dedicated space there for location of the ADA gate, so those customers can come and have a specific opportunity to review the devices at that facility.
All right, that's all the questions I had. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Giancola. Mr. Down.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You've got a end sentence on the briefing memo. Discussions are being held with regional partners regarding their development and transition to the NEPP system. One of the core values that the board said it has established in its planning process is connecting the region I can't stress how important it is for the board to be regularly informed of the discussion with the other 11 regional transit service providers and the other stakeholders in this region about this system, that there needs to be, I hope, a process of public discussion of differences or problems, that there is a timely resolution process that can help us get to one outcome that has universal usage of this system throughout this region. A strong suggestion that a regular report back to the committee on the progress of those discussions and negotiations with our regional partners be a part of this on a regular basis. The other is a suggestion, a strong one, that one of the elements that you tell us about in this is how we're dealing with the ongoing problems of unbanked riders. The board's raised this issue a number of times, and I hope it is not an afterthought as we get towards the end of this process. We're already putting on notice that we're phasing out cash ads on the bus. That assumes a certain set of access to some form of banking system or other access. I think it's really important to have that as a criteria that is measured, and it shows that we're serious about trying to address this through this new fare system.
Madam Chair, Mr. Downs, thank you for those comments. And I would say, yes, the unbanked, the underbanked are an integral part of what we're addressing. And I think I really believe this program will provide many more options than are available to those customers today. Currently, any retail environment requires a special device connected to our system, probably at a special service counter, probably in a longer line, probably with less attendance at those retail outlets. In the future, any retailer can be commissioned or set up to add value to these cards with only access to a website. So we'll be able to provide that to the places where those customers are going every day. And I would welcome the opportunity to come back and report on that progress and developments as we move forward. Sure, Lynn.
If I may add one point. The unbanked, underbanked, and limited English proficiency communities will be represented in the pilot. We're recruiting folks to participate in the pilot so that as we gauge public acceptance and gather feedback and collect data from the participants in the pilot, that can be incorporated into our strategy moving forward. And that will be regularly provided. That feedback will be regularly provided as part of the pilot program and reported back the chair has asked for quarterly reports from us on that, reported back to the board in those quarterly reports so that you can understand what we've learned from the customers through the pilot program.
Thanks, Ms. Hudgens. Let me follow on and just say I share many of the concerns. I think we all do that. Mr. Downs just expressed. My concern is at the moment, and I appreciate where we are in the pilot, is we have a lot of aspirations about partnering with particular entities which are widespread in the region. And we may have places where those big providers, for lack of a better word, aren't. And so I would really kind of encourage you to be thinking about what's a metric that we could use that would let us look from a geographic point of view and talk and be able to say to our customers on a map, just like we can say when the next bus is coming or what the routes are, where are the places that you can top off your card. We have to really, I think, be clear about about what we think success looks like, and I'm not clear yet on what that means. I hear a lot of great ideas, and I think we're at a place now where we're starting to say to the public, this is going away. We have to have some more specifics in our strategy that we're communicating. And I'm not saying you don't have them. I'm just saying they're not getting through, certainly to me.
Well, let me comment on that. We've had the discussion on this phasing out. This is not something in the near term. It's years before we'll get to that. And I want to make that very clear in our discussions at the staff level. I did not want, 6 months from now, a year from now, you can't find it. The entire network has to be set up. It has to be dispersed throughout the region to all neighborhoods before we even think about cutting the other off. And that's why we're going to have a dual system for quite some time.
Well, that actually is reassuring, Rich, but the slides don't give – the slides look like there's five points and they're kind of equally distant and there's no dates. And so it's hard to reach that conclusion.
Can we put slide – I think it's 50 up, because I think if we can talk – as you've responded, Mr. Sauls, regarding how this should be deployed, you see the timeline. Mm-hmm. You see the timeline, and I think what's the response is within that timeline. What's that part that reassures the board that we're hearing the things that are needed there, and that was also the reason of the quarterly reports that we said we wanted back, so that you're looking for a baseline of testing that will go on, and you have a timeline of 5 years refining that testing and building that system, and you have participants across the demographics that we serve today in order to participate so that we are being able to use data that's relatively realistic as to what our objectives are. And so while we've spoken, I think, in generally where we want to be, it's not tomorrow.
No.
Okay.
No.
And I think that's the part that needs to be.
Okay.
Maybe the slide might have some other milestones a little better refined there, but it so that it does not give the impression, as probably the article the other day looks, we're changing, but we're it's going to be a long time for the change. But we will be involved, or the customers, there will be customers that will be involved in the process as change comes.
Definitely. Right? Yes. Madam Chair, thank you for those comments. We'll work to clarify that transition period, and it definitely is a transition period. As I said, many things need to happen before the existing system will no longer exist, regional transitions as well as the availability of the reload. So we'll work to clarify that in the future updates. Thank you. Today, our current plan would have us beginning full deployment on buses and on rail stations in 2017.
Right.
In about May of 2007, and that's just the beginning.
That's great. That's a number. That's a date we hadn't heard before, and I think that's really helpful in the conversation.
And just another comment. And as I spoke about accelerating that date, all these things need to be addressed prior to any determination whether to accelerate that current date in the plan. And we'll report on that clearly in the future.
I think it's Mr. Golden next, yes.
Good morning, Mr. Randall.
Good morning.
Good to see a new face. I just want to return to the colloquy you were having with Tony, Mr. Giancola, on the experimental gates. So the experimental gates that will be at the test stations, are they going to be additional gates to existing gates, or do they replace existing gates?
Madam Chair, Mr. Goldman, those will be, in most cases that I'm recalling now, replacing existing gates.
All right. And when you replace the existing gate, will current customers who are not part of the pilot still be able to use that gate to access the system?
I'm sure, Mr. Goldman, those gates will be specific for the pilot customers during the pilot phase.
So there'll be a net reduction in the number of gates that will be available to traditional customers, customers using the old-style
fare
card access.
That's correct.
Will the new gates be identified in any way so that existing customers know that they shouldn't go to those gates?
Madam Chair, Mr. Goldman, that's one of the another exciting things about the pilot. Yes, they'll be very identifiable and very recognizable as part of the new system.
Can you talk about that as to what that will look like so that people out there will know in advance where they shouldn't be going?
Oh, yeah. Madam Goldman, we can. I had a brief picture up there, but we'll bring some better photos next time. They're currently designed in stainless steel versus the brown that we have today, a more streamlined approach, if you will. And that's a picture of the design that's been chosen for the most part. There's some tweaks going on as well.
Will they be a different color, or will there be, like, footprints that go up to them that say, test gate? I'm trying to understand, you know, how you're going to do this so that you don't get a rush of people at Gallery Place coming out of a Capitals game.
Yeah.
You know, wanting to head for that particular gate.
Thank you. Yes, and we've chosen the stations to help us alleviate some of that based on volume as well. But we're working on many communication plans for those pilot customers. And so the regular customers are aware but know that it's not for them yet at this time.
Right.
Yeah.
Finally, you mentioned something to Mr. Giancola about handicapped access gates. Will there be a handicapped access gate at each of the test stations, or will they be only limited to certain stations?
Yes, Madam Chair, Mr. Goldman, we are providing a handicapped ADA gate at the test facility, specifically because we could get dedicated results and reviews at that site, and the logistical issues with having just one gate that would be a new gate, not of the current format, and limiting the access for existing customers was extremely problematic, space-wise and transition-wise for the customers as well. But I think we have a good path to get a lot of input from those customers.
Okay, could you talk through that a little bit? Do you have handicapped individuals who are going to be part of the pilot group?
Madam Chair, Mr. Goldman, yes, we're targeting and we're using all different customers that will be reviewing those gates during the pilot period.
And how do they access the system if there aren't ADA qualified gates at each of the test sites, the test stations?
Mr. Goldman, the existing gates will remain at for ADA access, and then we're still developing the transition plan down the road to transition the ADA gates to the new technology.
So they'll be able to use the
existing
new payment system at the old handicapped access gates if there isn't a handicapped access gate at the station?
I think if I could clarify.
Okay.
What we're doing is we're taking the ADA gates and we're putting them into the test facility. Because
the test facility, is that a station? Or is
that is not a station. That is separate. That's a Telegraph Road.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're able to do then is actually go to a broader population. We can target a broader population, you know, to be able to test the gates, the functionality of the gates, you know, the ergonomics of the gates on that. Because simply putting them in a station and having, you know, a limited number of disabled users being able to do it, you know, we felt we'd be a lot better if we could get to a much broader audience. We could target that audience as well. You know, it's controlled and we can get it in there. So that's how we are working the pilot program for people who require the handicap accessible gates.
Okay, so I can conclude from that there won't be any handicap accessible gate in any of the test stations.
You may conclude from that there will not
therefore,
be.
Therefore, the only way handicapped people will participate in the test is not in the group of 2,000, but at the Trip Telegraph Test Facility.
That is correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Remick.
Thank you.
Are there any questions? Mr. Down.
There's a quick follow-up. My recollection is that when we did the testing of potential gates, we had a strong input from the ADA community. Mm-hmm. So the design of the gate is something that they had input into.
Yes, definitely that's correct, and we did make a number of modifications to the design based on that input.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions? Hearing our questions, well, thank you very much, Mr. Randall. This is a really big change, and as noted, and Mr. Downs mentioned, I've asked that we get a quarterly report back to the board so that there can be a frequency of us hearing the progress of the information, and I think most importantly, keeping it in front of us so that we don't lose track of where the intentions of going, but we hear the concerns or we hear the success of the process so that there's enough interaction. And I think most importantly, to continue to keep us apprised of the regional combinations of folks that we're going to be engaged with, because this is going to be integrated throughout the system so that we can be ahead of that. But I think this is a very good opportunity for us to get the information that we need, to give you feedback of what our understanding of where you're going so that you hear that early on.
Appreciate
that. And it also helps us then generate the kind of information in the public environment so that they can have that sense of what this system is going to be. This is a big change for us, and so it will take a lot of time to make that change, but just as we made the transition from paper to smart trip, this is another big element that's there. So I want to thank you for the presentation. I look forward to feedback. And I would also remind the folks the May, we had a, I think we had data. No, it was part of the presentation data that we talked about.
Okay. Thank you.
We're hearing no other questions. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you.
That concludes the items for the Customer Service and Operations Committee. And we will look forward to the agenda items on bus service adjustments next month and our rail standards information. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you very much.